Back at the Advanced Selling Podcast, my name is Brian Neal.
Mm-hmm. And this is Bill Caskey.
Today we're brought to you by the Bare Naked Ladies, Brian Adams and Sarah McLaughlin, everybody. That's an inside joke. You don't get it? Our guest is from Canada. Those are all Canadian bands.
That's
phenomenal,
right.
Canadian bands. I've been prepping for that for a week and a half. You kidding me?
And I missed it.
You did. Yeah, you
sure
did. So, we're here every week giving you ideas for your sales life and your leadership life. Today we're going to do a little leadership talk today, which will apply to everybody, even if you are a salesperson. Mm-hmm. So you had something you wanted to chit-chat about beforehand, I believe, Bill. Did you not?
The other day I was listening to a webinar. It was about an hour long, and every question that the host asked, the guest said, "That is a great question, John." And I thought when I, after about the fifth time, I thought, are they really all that good?
I think they are.
And you know how you're in a sales meeting, you're in a meeting, and so you ask a question. It's almost patronizing. Oh, Brian,
a little bit.
That was a very good question. Thank you for that question.
Do you do the opposite then, too? You say,
no,
that was a pathetic question. Do you want me to answer that? You sure you want to ask that? You're serious, right? No. That's really bad.
Probably not.
That wouldn't go over too well with the audience.
Okay. We have a very special guest today. Drew Dudley is with us, and you may recognize Drew's name. He is a TED Talk guru. He has had a couple TED Talks built around the internet. If you want to go to Google and look up Drew Dudley TED Talks, he did one called The List that I thought was awesome.
Agree.
Drew, are you on the line?
I am indeed. That's a great question.
That's great.
Here we go.
He's good. The Canadian
sense of humor just falls right in line with me. I absolutely adore it. Adore it.
You should all be Canadians. That way you could be funnier.
Seriously.
A really massive inferiority complex.
It's just, I love it. It's so charming.
That's
so charming.
Awesome. Drew was a former professor at University of Toronto Scarborough, right?
Actually. Well, I ran their leadership development program there. I didn't actually get the title of professor.
Oh, you didn't. Okay, I'm sorry about that.
We just gave it to you, though, so you do
that's
now.
That's right. You do now.
Excellent. Yeah. I was just going to say, I should just let that roll.
Well, I would. Yeah, you've just become a professor. And I guess if enough people say it, then it's just reality, and it's public domain.
That's right. Drew now heads up a company called Nuance Leadership Development Services. It's for communities, companies, and individuals in the whole leadership game. And you can find him at nuanceleadership.ca. And welcome to the Advanced Selling Podcast, Drew.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we know that you have some real opinions on leadership and all things developmental when it comes to leadership. Why don't you maybe spend a minute or two telling us what you do now and kind of what your work is and how you arrived at that, and that'll give us a little context on which we can ask some questions.
Sure. Well, as I said, I used to work for the University of Toronto on their Scarborough campus, and I ran the leadership development program out there, and what I really discovered was fascinating is how few young people were comfortable using the term leader to describe themselves. And these were individuals who were heavily involved in any number of things on campus and really did amazing things in the community. Yet, when I said, well, you're a leader, the idea that they sort of pushed back and said, well, I hope to one day. And so I actually began, as I traveled around the country, because I not only worked at the university, but did a lot of speaking for youth, particularly to start off around the country, I started asking every audience I spoke to, how many people in this room are completely comfortable calling yourself a leader? And I believe that I've now done it over 300 times. And the total number of times that more than 10% of the audience has raised their hand is 28.
Mm,
and of those 28 times, 19 of them were children under the age of 12. So what I started to realize is that there's something about the term leader that the older we get, the better we start to identify what it means or what the criteria is to be a leader, and the less likely we are to call ourselves one.
Wow.
And what I've come to believe is that when we start to see leadership as the exclusive territory of the few, and that most people aren't, I think overall that's bad for organizations and it's bad for society, because I think that when people feel like they're leaders, they want to step up and be good ones. And when we allow people to say, well, I'm not a leader, they don't necessarily feel that same urge to be an effective leader for other people and to have a positive impact. So I think that if we can get people to embrace that title, mm-hmm. I honestly think that organizations, that individuals, that societies, and your career and your life gets better, because I think that when you recognize that you're having an impact or that that is in fact leadership, I think that drives people to want to be better at it personally.
That's very
good. My work is to try to help people embrace the title for themselves and then be able to do a better job of living the type of leadership that they want.
Wow. Yeah, it's a great perspective to have a group of audiences to that level and to have such a low percentage that don't see themselves is really fascinating. So And I'm glad you said what your role is to teach people, because we on our podcast really want to give people tactical tools. And the first thing I'm learning from you is to say, okay, first, let's embrace the idea and acknowledge the fact that we all have this about us, this leadership. And if you go listen to one of Drew's other talks, you'll also hear him tell a story, this lollipop story, as you call it, and I call it too, was extremely inspiring. So what's the step two then? So once I say to myself, I'm a salesperson, I'm running around selling phone systems all day, every day, and I'm 27 years old, and you ask me if I'm a leader, I say, heck no, I'm not a leader. I sell phone systems, but I am a leader. What's next then? So once I acknowledge and say, yes, I am, what do I do then?
Oh my God, I just say it again. That's a great question.
You can.
It really was.
It was.
Out of the park every time. But I think that's really what I always get pushed back against is that, well, look at where I am career-wise. And I think the idea that we tie our impact on the planet to how much money we're making or where we are in our career is the first thing that I want to sort of separate people from. I think the best way I ever tell it is that I had a young man walk up to me after a presentation and say, Drew, I really love your stories. And I said, well, thanks. And he throws me a complete curveball and says, do you want to know what's wrong with you? And I remember thinking, excellent. Who wants to turn down the chance to have a complete stranger tell you what's wrong with you, right? And he said, you never tell anybody how to win. And I said, win what? And he rolls his eyes and he says, look, man, this is a game we're playing. And we all know it's a game. And there's only so much money and there's only so many jobs. And if I don't get them, somebody else will.
Wow.
And you're not doing anybody any favors by telling them there's some other reality. You're not doing anybody any favors by telling them that, you know, they're a leader. And if they focus on that, their career gets better. All you're doing is you're setting people up to get destroyed in the game. And if you want to help people, stop doing that and start telling them how to win. And one of the things I realize is that I think he's right and that I never told anybody how to win that game. And what I really try to say, I think step two is don't play that game. I think that there are no winners in that game. There are only people who have been beaten. But we adopt this philosophy that work is a game, that careers are a game, that selling is a game. And that means there are rules. And that means that there are winners and there are losers. And I think that leads us to believe that we live in this economy of scarcity where there's only so much. And anything someone else gets, we don't get.
Yeah.
What I think the key to success is in the work world and really in life is to adopt this philosophy of adding value. Those two words, add value. And to me, that means trying to find a way to give people something they didn't even know they needed and they didn't even know they wanted every time you interact with them. I think it means not asking, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to make a sale? What do I need to do to get a better job? What do I need to do to shine brighter than the people around me? My focus is to tell people, let's start focusing on who do we need to be. Because I think when you ask, what do I need to do, your focus is on pleasing other people. And when you ask, what do I need to be, your focus is on what you expect from yourself. And I think that turns you into somebody who is more likely to have a positive impact on other people and to add value to other people. Because I think that if we can find a way to focus on adding tremendous value in every single interpersonal interaction, inevitably that's going to lead to jobs and money as the natural byproduct. Now, one of the struggles I find is that, and this applies to everyone, whether you're in sales, whether you're in any other kind of career, a real focus that I think is important is identifying what it is that drives you value-wise. Because I think that people want to do business with people that they respect. And I think that people who have clear values and who live those are the type of people that people are drawn to. And one of the things I discovered is that a lot of people don't actually know what their values are. One the best advice I was ever given was, when you don't know what to do in a situation, ask yourself, what would the person I want to be do in this situation, and then do that. And the difficulty that I found is that a lot of people don't know who the person they actually want to be is. This was made clear to me when a young woman walked up to me at the end of a workshop and said, I'm so sorry, English isn't my first language. Can you explain what leadership means in simple English? And I don't know if you guys have ever been asked a question that you're certain you know the answer to until someone asks it to you.
Did you say that's a good question?
Yeah, and I choked on it. I completely choked on it, guys. And I really upset
that's
me.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but I mean, it was in my title, you know, leadership director, and now I run a company with leadership development in it, and I was 28 years old, and to think that, man, I don't have an actual definition for what leadership means to me, and that's upsetting when you consider that I was trying to live leadership as a value every day of my life, and I started to realize that, you know what, I've never actually thought about what are the values that drive me? What does this have to do with business and sales? Well, I think this is it. People are really drawn to individuals who make decisions that are consistent with their values, and that's clear to others. What I found interesting is that I went home that night, and I encourage you guys and anyone listening too, think of three values that you want to embody every day in your life. Like, just think of three right now. And I went home and I wrote down all the ones that I could think of: respect, accountability, transparency, honesty, integrity. Like, these were all things that I wanted to embody every day in my life and in my work. And writing them down was no problem, and I bet you coming up with three wasn't very hard. But the next step, imagine that girl walked up to you and said, okay, what does each one of these actually mean in simple English? Mm-hmm. I realized that I had never defined those values. And most people I know, when I ask them that question, they can come up with things like respect or transparency, accountability, passion, whatever you want to say as values. But when you say, well, what exactly does that mean, if somebody would ask you, most people don't know. And if you don't know, then it's awfully hard to live it. And we spend most of our time evaluating ourselves as people by how well we live our values. And if we haven't actually defined them, if we don't define the things that we want to define us, we always feel like we're less than we want to be. Hmm. And how do you sell anybody anything when deep down inside you feel that you're not even who you want to be, right? So if you can't even feel good about yourself as a, and I hate to say this, as a product, but if you don't feel good about who you are, how is it that you can ever convince anyone else to trust you and feel that you have the expertise to sell them anything, right?
Yeah, we have a saying here that if you're incongruent, if your outward behavior is incongruent with who you are, people pick up on that very quickly. And you can create all the words and all this machination of words, and you can wordsmith this thing and hire copywriters, but if it's not real and authentic, people pick up on it in about 10 nanoseconds.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. One more question, Drew. You okay with a few more minutes?
Whatever you guys need.
Okay. In the list, one of the TED Talks you did, you talk about the list of what it takes to be successful. And we all have this list. And one of your main points is that make sure the list that you have is not created by someone else. Make sure it's your list. And in there, you talk about how work to make your grades, you call them your marks, or your grades, work really hard to make your grades, but work doubly hard to make sure that the grades are only one part of why someone would either hire you, buy from you, whatever. Talk a little bit about how sometimes we work on the wrong problem. And you kind of already did in the last segment when we talked about value and who you are, but talk a little bit about that.
I had a couple of moments in my life that made me realize that, you know, I was chasing these big goals. In one particular case, it was a fundraising goal, you know, a lot like a bottom line or a sales goal. And I didn't reach it. We work so hard to try to, in order to shape how other people feel about us, you know, how much money am I making? Have I reached these particular goals? Do I have a big enough job title? Those are the things that we work so hard at to try to make impressive enough that other people think highly of us. And yet I discovered that what people generally think of us have actually, those are not the things that have the biggest impact. It really is not just the goals that you set or even the goals that you reach. It's how you pursue those goals on a daily basis that has the most impact on other people.
Yeah.
And that was a big eye-opener for me. So I consistently point out that when we evaluate ourselves as leaders and as people, and whether we're not a success or not, we focus on these extraordinary days, these days where things happen that don't usually happen. And they could be good when you make the massive sale, when you get promoted. They can be negative, where you fail at something as an individual, an organization, or where you don't get something you thought you deserved. And those extraordinary days where things happen that don't usually happen can really teach us a lot about ourselves. But I think that what we have to remember is that those extraordinary days are always outnumbered by the everydays in our lives. And the nature and frequency of extraordinary days are determined by how we behave in the everydays. So determining who we are, how we want to go about pursuing our goals, identifying those values and being congruent on an everyday basis, I think those are the moments where people notice who we are. And when they see us adding value in that way to ourselves and to other people, they want to work with us. They want to buy things from us.
Exactly.
They want to hire us. And I think that that's a key thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that I really struck in terms of adding value is I worked with a guy who was this extraordinary sales guy. And I said to him, what's the secret? Like, do you really live by the golden rule? You treat other people as you'd like to be treated. And he says, you know, that's a good baseline to try to go with, Drew. But honestly, I've revised the golden rule. And I have what I call the platinum rule, is that's don't treat other people as you'd like to be treated. Treat other people as they'd like to be treated.
Yeah.
And that small shift he says, can add so much tremendous value. And if you follow that particular perspective, I think tremendous things happen.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Drew, we really appreciate your time today, and thanks so much, and we'll let you know when this is going to air, and you've been an awesome guest with great content, and we'll keep following you.
I really appreciate that, guys. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thanks, sure, appreciate it. See you later.
All the best.
See you, bye.
Bye.
I'm going to come up with a term now. It's going to be called a loop or a rewinder. Loop or rewinder. This is a podcast you need to go back and listen to over and over. There's a whole lot of stuff that came out real quickly. But go back and listen and find some things for you to do one at a time. Don't try to ingest everything. I think that's really important. And where can they find Drew again?
Yeah, they can find him at Nuance, N-U-A-N-C-E. I would not have known how to spell Nuance.
Nuance.
Nuanceleadership.ca.
Gotcha. That's in Canada.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought he had some really good points on detachment and on value and on authenticity and how it attracts people. But you're right. Go back and listen to that a couple times.
For sure. Yeah. This episode of the Advanced Selling Podcast brought to you by Rush. That's another Canadian
another
band,
Canadian?
Right? Yeah.
What about Justin Bieber?
Biebs? Yeah. Biebs counts. We can end on Biebs. Yeah.
Keep going. All right.
Go to the LinkedIn group, Advanced Selling Podcast LinkedIn group. See us there, and we'll catch you next time.
Because I'm a big fan of Justin
Bieber. Huge. Okay. Your hair looks like him. Bye.
See you next time. Bye.
This podcast presented by Caskey, leaders in sales training and executive coaching. You can learn more about Caskey at caskeyone.com.